Here at Early Excellence, we specialise in early childhood education. We offer expert advice and guidance through training, consultancy and classroom design. With the Early Excellence podcast, we aim to inspire and support you as well as challenge your thinking. So if that's what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. Hello everybody, Andy Burt here. Welcome along to our latest episode of the Early Excellence podcast. This week we've picked out an episode to re-release that will really get you thinking about your practice and provision. So have a listen to my Early Excellence podcast chat with Amanda Belbin all about domestic roleplay in the EYFS. Hi, Amanda. How are you? Nice to see you.
I'm good, thank you. Yep.
Very good. So thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking, of course, all about domestic role play at your setting because we've had lots of conversations and discussions about your inspirational role play and how you provide role play opportunities for your children. Just before we get on to that, give us a bit of an idea as to where you are, so where in the world you happen to be in terms of your school or your setting. Tell us a little bit of background, really.
Hi, we're based in a primary school in Weymouth, and we have in Dorset. And so we're fortunate enough to have a nursery, obviously attached to our school, where we've got children from two. My role is early years lead, so I get the kind of privilege, I guess, of overseeing all of that and watching what's happening and going on all the time. So yeah, it's great.
Fantastic. Super. So you have a nursery attached to your school. So it's Bincom Valley, isn't it, the school that
That's
you're at?
Right, yeah.
Bincom
yeah.
Valley. You have your nursery and you have reception as well within the school building. But am I right in thinking your nursery building is a separate building?
It is a separate building. We've actually got sort of two nursery buildings because we have our 2 and 3 year olds in one building and then our 3 and 4 year olds in another one. So yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? We've had loads of emails back and forth. I feel like over time, because you've contributed to blogs and all sorts of things, that I feel like I know you. But actually, this is the first time we've had any kind of conversation face to face. Over time we've talked, haven't we, all about through the blogs and the writing that you've put together for us, all about domestic role play. So I have an understanding myself about kind of where you're coming from and your passion for domestic role play. But do you want to give people who are listening in who maybe haven't had that, sort of coming to this new, I suppose, give people an idea as to kind of your journey, really. Where did it start, this interest in role play and domestic role play in your setting?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously role play is always, and particularly like domestic role play, has always been something that I've always used and had in any setting, like early years setting that I've been in. But I think I came to look at it in a kind of different way. I went to it was run by Early Excellence, and it was like I can't really remember exactly what the event was called now, but anyway, I got chatting to Phil Armstrong, and we the interactive classroom was there on the day, and we happened to be standing in the domestic role play area of that, and he was just talking about a situation that he'd seen or heard about where somebody had introduced the baby. So often, obviously, in a setting, you have dolls and babies and children play with them and things like that. But and I'd always just put a baby there, that it was always something that was there. And he was talking about how a baby had been very kind of carefully introduced. And I think the basis of what he was saying was thinking about the fact that in a setting, anything that's there really needs to earn its place and be there for a real reason, and that the children understand why it's there and how it's used and that kind of thing. And it kind of, I think I just came away and thought, oh, yeah, that sounds really good. Went back to school and talked to my team, and we were like, well, let's have a go. So we started working on introducing, this was actually back pre-COVID, the year the first lockdown came around. And we talked together and thought, well, what's the best way of doing this? So we fortunately at that moment in time had one of the mums of one of our little boys had a baby. And we thought, oh, great, you know, this is going to be good. So we asked her when the baby was, you know, a bit more than a few weeks old, whether she'd happily come in and like let us talk to her about looking after a baby and what that means, and just so they kind of had an idea of seeing a new baby. So we did that. We then talked with the children a lot about, well, if we had, what about if we had a baby here? What would we need? What would we need to look after it? And that kind of thing. And we just went on this sort of amazing journey of planning with them, you know, making lists. It kind of went across all sorts of curriculum areas, really. Then thinking about getting the things actually ready, and they were very involved with it, planning like maybe what name we might like to have. And then so in the end, after probably, I think it probably took us 2 or 3 weeks worth of just working through all this different planning, this baby arrived. So they arrived one morning. The baby was baby Arthur, as it turned out at that point, was in the cot. And I mean, they were amazing, really, when I think back how they were. And we got the baby out, and I showed them how to, the initial thing I showed them was how to hold him really carefully and how to hold the head. And we passed him round, and they were like, you know, we were sort of adding in things like, oh, they like to be, you know, maybe their toes tickled, or babies like this and babies like that, as they were passing him round. And some of them were kissing him, and so they were sort of rocking him gently or picking him up and patting him. And I mean, it was really magical. And it kind of just went on from there. And as the year went on, well, to the point where we could go on, because we ended up in a lockdown, but we did lots of different things about how to care for him, bathing him, you know, obviously changing nappies, feeding. We had the health visitor came to visit as well to measure him. And you can see it was pre-COVID, because we had lots of things and lots of people coming in. But yeah, so I think it just, and having done that, we just then ended up on it led to lots of other things, I think, with other ideas. So later that year, we also introduced a pet. So we had a little puppy, and we talked about their pets at home. And again, the same, it's almost like we used the same kind of structure in terms of trying to have something real where possible, then doing lots of planning and preparation and talk really with the children, maybe looking at pictures and things as well. And then building up this sort of anticipation of this exciting event that was going to happen. And obviously my whole team were involved in that. And we let the parents know what we were doing as well, because obviously, you know, so they did understand it wasn't really going to be a real baby or a real dog or a real, because for the children, it felt like obviously like it was really real. And they used to say to me, is it a real baby? And I'd say, well, it's our real nursery baby. And so I just had this sort of like stock answer, which I kind of used. It seemed to work. But yeah, and I think just that, it was just the way of thinking, I think, probably, that changed. And I think having made that change of the way of thinking, I mean, it seems quite, having done it, it seems quite obvious. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are doing that already, you know, but I think now it's something that we kind of apply, obviously, to everything that we go around, that we do, and that we use.
Yeah, it's that distinction, isn't it, between what's always going to be there. So your continuous provision within your home corner, that might be your washing machine with clothes in it, and mm-hmm. the ironing board and the iron and the, you know, the recipe book and all of those other things, the utensils and the pots and the pans and all of that kind of thing. And having some things that are always there from more or less from day one, I suppose. But yep. Then also knowing that actually you're keeping something back, because you don't want to just introduce it all at one go, because if you do, then you've lost some of the journey that you yeah. maybe you potentially lost some of that careful introduction that you're talking about, that discussion about, well, have you got a baby at home? And, you know, do you have a younger brother or sister? And what was it like when a new baby came home into your house? And all of those sorts of discussions that are rich discussions, mm-hmm. that if the babies are just in the cot on day one, maybe, you know, like typically there are often like 4 babies all in the cot, you know, on day one that haven't been introduced, then I think we lose something. And I think also the children, in terms of how they are with those dolls, the baby dolls, they don't respond in quite the same way. You know, what you were sharing with us then was that what's great, I think, is that real value that the children then don't see the baby doll as a doll at all, but see that as a little somebody.
And I mean, I think it means that they take care as well. You know, we didn't, and we only ever have one baby at a time. I've got a baby Molly at the moment, but we only have one, and they do actually take turns really quite well, and will, you know, are able to use language to talk about, can I do that now for Molly or whatever? And also, you know, we've never found the baby sort of like dumped in the book corner with no clothes on, or, you know, because they genuinely care, and they will carry them carefully, put them back carefully, you know, and it's really good. I was just thinking when you were saying about sort of having the basics kind of there at the beginning, and then adding kind of, I suppose, like enhanced things as you go through. We actually did a really nice thing. Again, I think probably it was Phil that mentioned this to us as well, was about we actually moved in to our role play area. So at the very beginning of the year, at the very end of the summer term, because we have some children that stay on with us for the next term because they've got another year before they go to school. They helped us pack up into boxes all the basics, and some things kind of had to be put away because we wanted to go back a bit more basic again. But then in September, when they arrive, we unpacked. So we kind of moved the boxes in, got everything out, which meant that we could talk to the children about what all the things were, introduce the language. I mean, the context that I work within is, we do have, you know, our school's kind of got over, you know, sort of 40 or nearly 50% pupil premium children. We've got a high level of like need in terms of speech and language. So I think anything we can do that supports that right from the very basics is perfect, really. So we kind of moved in, and then we've kind of, obviously in the last couple of years, no year's been the same anyway, but no, in terms of what we've had there, the baby's been the same, but some of the other interests have been different. So this year our children were really interested in cooking, and using the mixing bowl that was there and different things. So we then, just trying to think really what we did do now, but I think, I know the children have been out on what they call one of their adventure walks on a Friday, and had been down to our school field, and they'd found blackberry bushes and picked blackberries, and we were like, oh, what are we going to do with those? So we decided that we'd think about making, so we just made really simple like blackberry muffins with the children, but we made them in the role play area, using the things that they normally use to pretend with, to actually make them, and we managed to get lots of photos of the different stages of it, and we made it into like a recipe book, which has then been in there, so they've been using that alongside playing and role playing and reenacting what we'd done. And yeah, I think, you know, the washing machine, not with this year's cohort, but the year before, they were really into, I think because they were into the baby and washing the clothes and things, we actually said, oh, well, actually, we now need, what we're going to wash them in, we need a washing machine. And because we'd packed that away, and we ordered one, we talked to them about ordering one. We said, we're going to order a washing machine. And our head teacher, bless them, arrived with the sack truck with a big box with this wood washing machine in it, and delivered it to us. And they were really, you know, and they helped, you know, to work out we were going to get it out of the box and how heavy it was and all that kind of thing, and where we were going to put it and where would be, you know, what space would be big enough, and just everything, really. I think even right, you know, down to all the little details, just involving them.
And I think that's what I think comes across loud and clear, is that at every stage you're involving your staff team, as in that wide team that you have that you work with, and that everybody feels involved in it, and that everybody's having some input in it, and what have you seen and what have you noticed the children doing. But also, even more so than that, you're involving the children every step of the way too, so that it becomes like a kind of plan, do, review kind of structure, I suppose, where you're talking to at the end of a session about what they've been doing and what were they interested in, whether it be the, you know, the cooking or the blackberries or whatever it might be, and that what could we do next then, or what, you know, what have we not got that you might need in that area, all of those sorts of conversations and discussions. Yeah, I think what you're doing, I think really effectively, is using the provision as a starting point, not the end point. I think sometimes people set up the area as a domestic role play area. There it is. Off you go, everybody. And that's, it doesn't go any further than that.
It doesn't really change, I suppose, does it? Whereas I think, yeah, like you say, we sort of are just always, and I think it just comes from the fact that we, you know, spend the majority of our time playing with the children. So because we're there playing alongside and with them, we pick up on conversations about things that they say that we then think, or, you know, that we then kind of talk to them about to see if they pick up on, you know, whether we've got that interest right. Because, you know, with children, sometimes you think, oh, I think they're interested in that, but you might say something else and then it's kind of just fizzled out. It doesn't go anywhere. Whereas it's sort of picking up the right ones, isn't it? That where you're really going to be able to kind of help take it somewhere, I guess.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But I think you're right in that the things that we're talking about here, where you're using what you've observed and your children's ideas, all of the interactions that you're talking about, they're all built really on the relationships that you've formed with your children. Yeah. In that if your staff weren't alongside the children, spending time with them, getting to know them, valuing their ideas, building up that relationship, then it wouldn't, what you're talking about, I don't think it wouldn't work.
No, because, and I think it's got to be that sort of genuine, like you said, it is that genuine, authentic kind of relationship, isn't it? Where, you know, we're really interested in what they've got to share. And because of that, they are really interested in sharing things with us. And they know that we do listen, because in the way that we respond, so they will. I mean, I'm not thinking specifically now about domestic role play, but, you know, in all other areas, this kind of is running in the same way, and that, but they feel happy to say, oh, I think I'd like to do this, or can you help me, I need this, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's come, you know, in a lot of ways that's come from some children who really had very limited language, but because they've learned that we'll listen to them, and I guess we will give them what they want or what they need, they will now have the confidence and want to use the language to actually get that. So yeah, it's good.
I love that idea of packing up for, as if, you know, you, as if you were moving house, as if your home corner was up for sale and you're moving house, because that's such, you know, when you're talking about that idea of how do you feel about that. You know, that with the children, you're talking about the feelings of packing up and moving on and of change. Mm-hmm. Yet that's such a great way in, isn't it, to talking about transition.
So there was that element, but I'm just thinking back to back again to the year where we had baby Arthur, which obviously, like I said, coincided with the lockdown, the first lockdown. We had obviously children, we had some children at some points all the way through. But fortunately, we unfortunately kind of thing, we didn't have all the children back by the end of that summer term. So what we did is we actually, with the children that we had in, we packed Arthur's, it was actually quite emotional, really. We packed him a little suitcase with the children, a little wheelie one, and with all his things. And he went to reception. We took him. And they took him up to reception with them. So he was there. We gave him to the reception teacher, who obviously promised that she was going to look after him very well over the summer holidays. And he would be there waiting when they arrived. And I mean, they, you know, I think it just felt like the kind of right thing to do, because I just don't think we had a proper ending that year. And it kind of felt like naturally we didn't do that actually the following year. I don't know why it didn't go that way, but I think that's what I'm saying, is it sometimes it's just being led by what feels kind of instinctively right thing to do.
And I think there was a lot of that happening at that time, you know, going back what, sort of nearly 2 years ago. Mm. You know, it was a strange time emotionally, I think, for adults, as you know, as well as children. And yet that actually you kind of, because they were, and it's a cliche, isn't it, but unprecedented times, there was no right or wrong. You kind of had to go with whatever felt right at the time. And, you know, and having just some of your children in, not all of your children, that wouldn't feel right anyway. And, you know, it's a different kind of thing, isn't it? It was a different kind of thing altogether.
Yeah, it was.
But certainly I think all of the things that you've talked about are ways of using children's interests to then lead into talking about how they're feeling, which I think is really powerful stuff, isn't it? That thinking, setting the context for talking about how we're feeling is important with young children. And I think domestic role play provides that context, doesn't it? It provides the opportunity to talk about how do you feel? How do you feel if we're moving house? How do you feel if we've got a new baby in the home? You know, all sorts of things like that that will be familiar feelings to the children, even if they are not yet able to talk those feelings through. But I think that's healthy, isn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, very good. Fantastic. So what, in terms of where are you at now? Tell us about the domestic role play area now. You know, because I know there's been so much that's happened over time, you know, from baby Arthur being introduced to moving home, or from that to baking or introducing a pet.
I think we're at the moment at that sort of point where I think we're probably coming up to sort of maybe introducing a pet again. We've obviously had the baby. We've done bits about the cooking. We had Christmas where we decorated and helped put the tree up and then helped decorate it and made different decorations and things to go in there. And I think this term we probably haven't done perhaps as much with it. We've had other things kind of going on and bits and pieces that have meant, you know, they've been particularly like creative wise have been more interested in some of those things. But I think, yeah, we're sort of at that point now where we're ready for a new idea. I think we're just watching at the minute to see to see perhaps where it might go, really.
No, I think that's such an important point, isn't it? I'd forgotten about that, the decorating at Christmas. For people who are listening in, if you don't currently follow Amanda and the team at Bincom on Twitter, if you're on Twitter and you don't currently follow them, I would definitely recommend that you should, because Amanda, you share all sorts of things, don't you? But you know that's going on at the moment, kind of up to the minute updates as to what's happening in the setting at the minute. And at Christmas was really magical. I remember the photograph popping up on my phone of your children decorating the tree, which is one of those, again, such a simple experience, isn't it? And yet done well, it can be magical.
Yeah. And I mean, it just felt for them like a really special thing. I think sometimes, you know, I at home, again, thinking about the context that some of our children do live in, it's difficult because some of them don't always have the most positive experiences. Some do, and some don't. And some homes, you know, are a little bit more perhaps chaotic than others. And I think, you know, we sort of aim to kind of provide them with all those really, I think what you would call kind of quite simple things that, you know, if I think back when I was a child that I experienced, that it's all very basic. But done well, it's extremely important. You know, it's fundamental, really, isn't it? And I think, you know, they just had, we just had a basket of baubles. That was it, really. The tree was, we'd put the tree there and the lights, but we hadn't obviously put any decorations on it. So when they came in, the tree was there, the lights were ready. And we had one of the sort of small height step ladders that they used so that they could reach up to, sort of go up to put the baubles and things on. And they all just took the sat. And I mean, we did it in key groups. It wasn't like there were loads of them waiting to have a turn, but they sat in their groups and waited and took their turn and sat, you know, really quietly, just commenting, talking about their Christmas trees, talking about things that they remembered. We were talking about things like, think about it now, like how high is it? Is that one going to be higher than this one or lower? Or will you be able to reach, you know, do you need to stretch a bit further? We need some at the bottom, the top. So all the language was going on kind of just naturally, I guess, at the time. And it was lovely.
No, definitely. I think it's that sort of making memories together as a learning community, isn't it? That sort of being a group together and going through different things through that year together and sharing those memories, really. It is interesting because I think domestic role play often is a space that often makes way at Christmas time for all kinds of things that are not, that in some ways are not as meaningful or you know, are more abstract. So, you know, we often, I often see practice where people have got rid of the home corner to create a kind of an elf wrapping station or a Santa's grotto or all kinds of weird and wonderful things. When actually, I think, as you say, quite often the simple things, the more family-based things, can often be more powerful and more meaningful to the children, I think.
And I think, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I certainly did have things like elf, you know, workshop type thing in a reception class. And whereas now I think in our nursery with our 3 and 4 year olds, I would argue that probably a domestic role play area needs to be in any early years setting all the time anyway. But the way that we have gone about enhancing, like having those extra things, has been to have something running alongside it. So going back again to, I think it was the year when we had baby Arthur, we had, they were talking one day about wanting, that they had toast, that was it. They were the toaster and the toast, and talking about what they liked on their toast. And I said, well, you like jam? Or one of them said, I like jam or peanut butter or whatever. And I said, oh, I don't think we've got, because all we had in there at the time was like a butter pot. And I said, oh, well, maybe we need to order some. And we, as a setting, we do an Asda online thing, or as the school we do each week. So the children know that we order things and they come. So although it's, you know, it's sometimes difficult to actually go out to the shop, we were like, right, let's make a list of what we want. So we made lists, and these things arrived that we were then able to put in there for them. But then we were like, well, actually, what about if we have a shop and we just got our little shop thing out and put it just in an area close to it, so they were then able to go and pretend and do their own shopping. We did the same with the doctors. Oh, because Arthur was poorly at one point. Interestingly, Arthur was poorly not long before COVID happened, or in that really strange window of time when it was all happening, but we weren't yet in a lockdown. I'll just never forget that kind of 2 or 3 week period where you knew something was coming, but we weren't there yet. And actually, one of the children said, had Arthur one day, and they said, I can't remember, it's somewhere on our Twitter feed, I think, what they said, but it was something along the lines of, he's really hot. He's got a temperature and he's really hot. And it was coming from something they'd heard about, obviously, all these sort of like COVID symptoms and things. So at some points we have like a doctor's that we put there so that he can go in, or the whatever, they can take the baby to the doctor or whatever, but it kind of backs up what the places you'd go to from your home, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's giving those children those opportunities to play out their fears as well, isn't it? And make sense of things that, as I say, were, you know, that was a very scary time for everybody. But in some ways, children they've got less way of, you know, they haven't got as many ways of making sense of it, and that they haven't got as many different skills or previous experiences as adults, really, to make sense of it. So having those opportunities to go to the doctors and to, you know, to pretend being at the doctors is a way of kind of exploring those fears, really. So yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, see, all of this is amazing.
I keep all coming back into my head as I'm talking about it. I just forget, because it's just like, I suppose, like you say, we go each year with those children on that sort of journey, really, with them, and which you do with everything, don't you? It's not just the role play, but I think that does hold a particularly kind of special part to it, because it's, yeah, about them, you know.
Yeah, I think the way that you develop it is great, the way you tune in that way. And yeah, it's fantastic. And yeah, absolutely wonderful to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I'm sure that people listening will find it really, really interesting, and will have sparked all sorts of ideas in their own minds as to what they can do in terms of domestic role play and how to introduce different things, that not introducing everything all in one go, but maybe doing different things at different points. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you found the episode useful. Now you can stay in touch with all things Early Excellence by joining our mailing list, and also, of course, following us on all of the social media platforms as well. Okay, have a good week, everybody, and we will see you next time.